Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Blessed be your holy name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Well, good morning, everyone. It's such a beautiful day. And here we are in the house of the Lord. And we have worshiped him and lifted up his name. Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. There's still power in the blood. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Yeshua. You are awesome. As I was worshiping, I heard the Lord saying, many of you have stepped into the promised land, but you are standing just inside the gate. You are facing the desert and remembering the wilderness journey. You are focusing on it. You're focusing on it to the point that you feel like you're still there. Turn around, says the Lord. See the bounty of provision I have here for you in the promised land. Come deeper inside. Focus on me and your future, not the past. The past is in the past. The future is now. Your future is in me, says the Lord. Forget the wilderness and enter into my joy and provision. In my presence is all that you need. I am your promised land, says the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. Amen. If that bears witness with your spirit, that is you, take heart. The Lord sees, and he says, turn around. Come deeper to the promised land. Partake of the bountiful provision that's in him. He is your promised land. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What an encouraging word. What a blessing. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. This morning, we want to share something that's on my heart. But we want to make sure that we give honor and glory to the Lord. Because he's the one that we are to worship. I'm not trying to create a following here. I want to lead you to Yeshua. And I pray, Lord, that the meditation of my heart and the words of my mouth be pleasing in your sight, O God. And that everything I say will point the people to you. That they will hear your heart today. And how much you love and care for us. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Blessed be your holy name. Today, I'm going to talk about a subject that's in the news a lot. I don't know about in the rest of the world, but here, especially in America, I've been hearing quite a few well-known people talking about the solar eclipse that's coming up on April 8th. I even had someone post a message on Facebook the other day saying that some of the facts they were sharing were incorrect. Since incorrect data will lead to a wrong answer, I felt led to do my own research. As I always tell you, be like a Berean. Search things out for yourself. Even people we really like can get it wrong. Nobody's perfect, right? As we did our research, we learned some things, and I want to share what we learned with you today. We learned that the facts that are being reported, at least some of them, are indeed incorrect. One such fact has to do with the path or viewing area passing over seven cities named Nineveh. There are only seven cities named Nineveh in the whole United States, and the solar eclipse will not pass over all of them. I don't even think that the solar eclipse will be able to be seen from some of them. But I would encourage you to do your own research and not just listen to what others say, not even me. What I'm sharing with you today, research it, check it out. Because even if those saying it are well respected, they can get it wrong. So we want to be like Bereans and research for ourselves. Search the scriptures. Search the facts. A few years ago during the election cycle, they were talking about fake news and fact-checking everything. And that is really the point right here. We want to fact-check. We want to check the facts. Make sure that what we are hearing is the truth. This is a season where we must be lovers of the truth, lest we are deceived. There's a scripture that talks about, because they did not love the truth, a spirit of delusion and deception was put upon the people. We do not want to be those who are deceived or deluded. Not in this day. Not in this season. This is a season where we have to have eyes that are wide open and understanding hearts. Amen? So the conclusion they are drawing from this error alone may or may not be correct. But as we did our own research and asked questions, I believe these questions were led by the Holy Spirit because He wants us to know the truth. Amen? He is the Spirit of truth. He wants us to know the truth and walk in the truth. So the first question we asked is a solar eclipse an omen or message from Yahweh? That's the basis. They're saying there's a message in this. What's the message? They're connecting this 2017 eclipse to this one and making assumptions based on incorrect data. So which data should we be looking at? That's the second question. What data should we be looking at? What place is located at the intersection of the two eclipses? That was an interesting question. I think it's an important one. We research the answer to these questions and believe that a solar eclipse can be interpreted as a message from Yahweh. We read in Genesis 1, 14 to 15, and this is the NASB version. Then God said, "There will be lights in the expanse of the heavens to separate the day from the night, and they shall serve as signs and for seasons and for days and years. And they shall serve as lights in the expanse of the heavens to give light on the earth." And it was so. I believe this verse sets a precedence and establishes the sun and moon and stars as bodies in the heavens that will be used as signs. Because it says, and they shall serve as signs. An eclipse involves the sun and moon as well as the earth. So therefore, we can say that an eclipse could be interpreted as a sign. But what is it a sign of? Extensive research would have to be done to connect every known eclipse with events on the earth. Seriously, there's been a lot of eclipses. And what was happening on the earth during that eclipse? We'd have to check that out and create a chart and try to gather all that data to determine if there's a pattern between an eclipse and a sign on the earth. So we didn't do that. That would be a lot of work. But we asked the Lord to show us the message in this one, or what is there being trying to be said through 2017 and 2024, the two eclipses. How do they connect? And that is when I was led to ask, What place is located at the intersection of the 2017 eclipse and this one? The answer we discovered is Cedar Lake. Interesting. The phrase that came to mind immediately was Cedars of Lebanon. When you do a word search on this phrase, you find some scriptures that talk about judgment and some that talk about blessing. The verses that jumped out to me were Isaiah 2, 12 through 14, for the Lord of hosts will have a day of reckoning against everyone who is proud and lofty, and against everyone who is lifted up, that he may be abased, and it will be against all the cedars of Lebanon that are lofty and lifted up, against all the oaks of Bashan, against all the lofty mountains, against all the hills that are lifted up. Wow. And then Hosea 14, 5 through 7 also jumped out at me. I will be like the dew to Israel. He will blossom like the lily, and he will take root like the cedars of Lebanon. His shoots will sprout, and his beauty will be like the olive tree, and his fragrance like the cedars of Lebanon. Those who live in his shadow will again raise grain, and they will blossom like the vine. His renown will be like the wine of Lebanon. Wow. So here's one that mentions the cedars of Lebanon in what sounds like a judgment against the proud, against those who are lifted up. There are definitely many right now who are proud and lifted up. It also mentioned against all of the lofty mountains. I know we listen to Lance Wallnau, and he teaches about the seven spheres of influence in society, which he calls the seven mountains. So if any of these mountains are lifted up, any of these areas are lifted up against the Lord, they could be considered high and lofty, and this scripture applies to them. It's also worth noting that water symbolically represents the Holy Spirit, cleansing, new birth, and the Word. So we have an X, so to speak, being placed over a body of water named Cedar. I believe that this is more relevant than any city as to interpreting the message Yahweh may be speaking. I mean, there may be some Ninevehs. I noticed that even in Texas, there's a Nineveh and a Jonah that's going to be in the eclipse's path. And God may be saying something to Texas through that. The message I'm getting, though, is that judgment, a day of reckoning, is coming, but only to the proud and lifted up. To the humble, the Lord will be like the dew, refreshing and beautiful, a sweet fragrance. He will bless the humble and cause them to prosper. They will be filled with Holy Spirit and the Word, cleansed because they are born again and have a blood covenant with Yeshua, who is the Word. This is an encouraging message to those who belong to Yeshua. To the proud and haughty in the world, it is a day of reckoning. I believe that many are picking up on the judgment aspect, but let's not forget the encouragement part. The character of Yahweh is to correct error, but also to show a way to redemption. He will say, "You are on the wrong path," but also point you to the right path by saying, "This is the way, walk ye in it." When the Lord corrects, it is always with hope, never to condemn. Condemnation is from the devil. Romans 8:1 says that there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. We are no longer condemned. If we are in Christ Jesus, If the blood has been applied to our lives, our sins washed away, we are forgiven and there's no more condemnation. Hallelujah. We are not under judgment. Not anymore. Jesus took that penalty for us. Amen. Fear not. If you are born again, this is a positive event. If you have been proud and arrogant, repent and get right with the Lord. Amen? That's all it takes. If you are getting convicted, that's Holy Spirit. Conviction is of the Holy Spirit, not condemnation. Because conviction comes with hope. It comes with a way of escape. With every temptation, the Lord makes a way of escape. So here, if you've been proud and arrogant, repent. That's all it takes. Just repent with a sincere heart. I would like to expound a little more on the verses in Hosea. This is really a beautiful promise. And for those of us who are kingdom citizens, is really what we should be focusing on. One of the verses mentions those who live in his shadow. Psalms 91:1 says, he who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. The shadow of the Almighty is a place of safety, a place of protection, a place of provision. The next line promises that they will again raise grain and they will blossom like the vine. This speaks of fruitfulness and provision. So we can say it's also a place of fruitfulness. How do we live in the shadow? In his shadow. Not just any shadow. The shadow of the Almighty. How do we dwell there? Shadow speaks of an area of influence. To be affected by someone's influence, you have to be in their presence. The more time you spend in his presence, the more fruitful you will become. Like in Acts 5:14-15, when multitudes of men and women were constantly added to their number to such an extent that they even carried the sick out into the streets and laid them on cots and pallets, so that when Peter came by, at least his shadow might fall on any one of them. They were looking for that influence, that anointing on Peter's life. So when his shadow passed over them, his sphere of influence crossed their path, they were healed. I want to tell you a story about when the Lord brought this scripture to my attention and gave me clear understanding about what the shadow, what a person's shadow is. I was attending a church meeting down in Winter Park, Florida, where Pastor John Kilpatrick and Evangelist Nathan were ministering. And the service was basically over, and we were just standing around talking. And I guess John Kilpatrick and Nathan were moving about the sanctuary and praying for people. And I was up in the second story, second area from the platform. It was quite a distance from the platform. And we were standing up there and we were talking, and all of a sudden I felt a strong presence, the presence of the Lord, and I had to stop talking. And I turned around, and about 20 feet away, Pastor John Kilpatrick and Evangelist Nathan were moving towards us. So they had such an anointing on their lives. The presence of God was so strong on them that it reached about 20 feet away from their bodies. Wow, that was incredible. So now I can understand what it means when Peter walked down the street, they put the sick people out there so that his shadow might cross over them and they get healed. Because Peter had such a strong anointing on his life, especially in the area of healing. And so, because he spent time with the Lord before Yeshua went back to heaven. He was full of the Holy Ghost, and so they wanted to get into that circle, that sphere of influence, that sphere of anointing, so they could get healed. So we want to learn to live in the presence of the Lord. This doesn't mean you have to spend 24/7 in prayer and Bible study. We all have responsibilities and jobs, right? His awareness of his presence, even as we sleep. I like to play instrumental music, you know, worship music, to help me remain in his presence as I sleep. So you might try that. Because just because you're sleeping doesn't mean you can't be aware of his presence. You know, your body sleeps. Your spirit is awake. So let your spirit dwell in his presence as your body recuperates and regenerates in sleep. Play instrumental worship music while you sleep. Try it. It'll make your dreams better, I believe. At least mine are. I can tell if I forget to put the music on for whatever reason, my dreams are horrible. So I can't sleep without some good instrumental worship music to keep me in the presence of the Lord. If you are going to have surgery and they're going to put you under anesthesia, make sure that they allow you to play instrumental worship music during the surgery. It will make a difference. This is what the Lord showed me. I've had several surgeries in my life. I always made sure that they played instrumental music or my music that I liked, worship music at the time. I said, I have to have this music playing while I'm under anesthesia because it protects your spirit. Amen. It does. It really does. So think about that. Remember that. As you go through your day, take a few minutes here and there to talk to him and worship him. An attitude of gratitude goes a long way in keeping you in his presence. Say thank you. I worship you. You are awesome. Frequently. Pray in your prayer language. A lot. You can do it under your breath. You don't have to be out loud where people can hear. You can pray silently in your head or under your breath, in your car while you're driving to or from work or the store. Pray, worship. If you don't have your prayer language, ask Holy Spirit to fill you and pray through you. And then pray whatever comes to mind, no matter what it sounds like. Yeah, it could sound really weird. You may not even realize that you were trying to pray in tongues. The Holy Spirit was trying to pray through you because you kept hearing these weird words in your head and you just kind of ignored them. Don't ignore them. Pray them. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. That will keep you in his presence. It will build up your inner man, give you strength. Tune in. Make an active choice, a proactive decision to dwell in his presence all day long. Think about him frequently. If you need to train yourself, I've heard that setting your watch with an alarm for at the top of the hour or 12:30 or 1:30 and 2:30, like every hour, just a couple minutes, let the alarm go off and remind you. Spend a couple minutes recognizing the Lord is there and honoring him. Think about others. Yeah, this will help you. When you start to think about others, ask God to point people out to you and start looking for opportunities to do random acts of kindness as the Lord leads. Obey whatever Holy Spirit tells you to do. This will help you focus on God and be in his presence and advance his kingdom in the earth. Amen? Treat him like he is standing next to you because he is definitely with you. He promised to never leave you or forsake you. Believe it. He's there with you. Be intentional about recognizing his presence. Sing him songs. talk to him like you would talk to anyone else. As you purposefully become more aware of his presence, you will be living in his shadow. And in that place, you will not want to sin. I think many times we are tempted by sin because we're not focused on the Lord. If you are consciously aware all day that he is there with you, he's watching you, he's listening to you, and he goes everywhere you go, I think it will make a big difference on where you choose to go, what you choose to say. It's when we forget that he's there that we are tricked into saying and doing things we shouldn't be. Amen? So be intentional about recognizing his presence. And in that place, like in Psalms 91, you will be protected. You will bear fruit because the anointing on your life will increase and affect those around you in the store, in the bank, in the park, or wherever you are, even in your own home. Mothers, if you're a stay-at-home mom, you have children. If you are intentional about being in the presence of the Lord, he will help you be a better mother. He'll give you wisdom on how to raise your children. He will speak to you about when they're about to get in trouble. He'll tap you on the shoulder or whisper in your ear, you know, go check on them. And then you go check on them and you're like, don't you put your hands on that hot stove, or don't you get into that poisonous plant, or don't play with them fire ants. Whatever it is, your child is about ready to get injured or do something they shouldn't be doing. The Lord will tell you if you're listening to his voice. That's how I raised my son. I had to have lots of wisdom in raising my son, and I always asked for wisdom, and the Lord would always tell me about what he was doing, and so I was never in the dark. In fact, he would tell me sometimes, "Man, how do you always know?" It would amaze him. Well, when your mother is living in the presence of the Lord, listening to the Lord's voice, you know, God tells you. So parents, be intentional. Be in the presence of the Lord. Seek the wisdom of God in raising your children. And teach them to live in the presence of the Lord. Show them by example how to live in his presence. And be an influencer for the kingdom at school or wherever they go. Amen. Even on the job, I say that, you know, the Lord is your provision. He may use a job to provide for you, but there's a reason that you're there in that job. It's to bring the presence of the Lord into that atmosphere. It's to be an influencer, to influence the atmosphere in your job. Many of the people I've worked for have prospered during the time that I worked there because God was blessing them through my presence. And those businesses who I did business with in the past who cheated me or did wrong to me, many of them don't have a business anymore. They're no longer in business. God takes care of that. He will bless those who bless you and curse those who curse you. It's a promise of the Lord. If you are in the kingdom, that is a promise. So you want to be in his presence and take his presence everywhere you go and be a blessing. Be a blessing to others. And if you're on a job, do the best job. Do all as unto the Lord. I want to close with this thought. God bless America. So many are calling for judgment, but I believe we should be crying out for mercy instead. Yes, a day of reckoning is coming for the proud and arrogant, but the Lord said in Ezekiel 22:30, "I searched for a man among them who would build up the wall and stand in the gap before me for the land so that I would not destroy it. But I found no one. How sad. God was looking for an intercessor for Israel, and he couldn't find anyone. And so he had to destroy Israel, partially, put him into captivity. But I believe that God is calling us to stand in the gap. Let's be ones who God can find to stand in the gap and intercede for America. Dear ones, let's be those who stand in the gap for America, not curse her, not call for judgment upon her. He doesn't want to destroy America. And I certainly don't wish harm for my country, and I hope that you don't either. If you're in another country listening to this message, be one that Yahweh can depend on to intercede for your country. It is not the Lord's will that any should perish. He wants everyone to come to the saving knowledge of Yeshua HaMashiach, our Lord and Savior. He wants people to be saved, born again, his kingdom advanced in the earth, the works of the enemy destroyed. Pray, pray, pray. Be a trustworthy intercessor. My fellow Americans, pray for America. Cry out for mercy. Let's bless America and pray for her, not call for judgment upon her. Every time you declare or share a word of judgment, it is actually a curse upon her. Please stop it. Intercede and cry out for mercy. God bless America. Lord, have mercy upon the USA. Pour out revival. Pour out your goodness upon America. Pour out your goodness, the goodness that leads men to repent. Father, forgive the man in the White House who has declared wickedness to be celebrated and have determined that today is the day that they will celebrate an abomination in your eyes to be celebrated. Have mercy, O God. Have mercy on us. Lord, pour out your spirit. We cry out for America right now. We deserve judgment. We deserve it. But you are a merciful God, and we cry out for mercy. Mercy. Put people in office who will reverse these horrible decisions. Lord, pour people in positions of authority at the local level, all the way up to the presidential election this November. Put someone in the White House who will lift up the name of Yeshua, who will bless Israel, who will be a blessing, not a curse. Because when the righteous rule, the people rejoice. So we ask for righteous leaders in every area of authority, every level of government. Lord, we cry out for mercy, mercy, mercy. We don't want to be like Jonah, who was mad that Yahweh showed mercy upon Nineveh. We want to be like God. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. If you have not accepted Yeshua as your Lord and Savior, make a decision right now and tell him you want to be saved. Repent, and if you are sincere, he will hear you and lead you to one who can baptize you. If you are in the Bay County, Florida, or surrounding areas, contact me, and I will be happy to baptize you. My email is lotsoflovministries@yahoo.com. Once again, that's lotsoflovministries@yahoo.com. Also, follow me on Facebook and check out my website, lotsoflovministries.com. Amen. Well, I hope you were encouraged by this message, especially if you're an American. God does not want to destroy America. He wants to have mercy on her. As we repent and turn from our wicked ways, He will hear from heaven and heal our land. Let's cry out for mercy. This eclipse is a positive event. It's a message of hope for us. Judgment for the wicked, blessing for the righteous. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. So until next time, shalom.